Well, it's time to continue our series on local forest history. It's produced by retired Aiken County Land Commissioner and Forester Mark Jacobs. And today is part two of a conversation about wildlife. And, you know, John, how many times have you walked around and said, I wonder what it was like here 200 or 300 years ago?
Oh, man, yeah.
And that's what we're going to talk about, wildlife before there was European-American settlement here, and there weren't so many people living here. And the,
right.
And the natives made a much lower impact on the land. And,
right. We had an interview recently with John Pastor about the white pine.
Yeah.
His book, The White Pine, and he talked about what kind of forests were here before settlement. And it had a lot to do with what kind of animals were here as well.
So we're taking that up with Mark Jacobs today, and biologist Bill Berg is back with us. Hi, you guys. Hi, Mark.
Morning.
Morning, Bill.
Good morning. Good morning, fellas. Yep.
All right. Yeah. Well, thanks for joining us again, Bill and Mark. And let's set the stage. When you say pre-settlement wildlife, what are you talking about there?
It's really pre-settlement European man. You know, it's before even before the fur posts and the fur buyers moved in, and the voyageurs, you know. And you're looking at primitive forest that was not logged at all. There was interference, you know, floods. There was fires and everything back there, high winds back then. But it's before European man came in and kind of changed things a lot.
Yeah, and you know, I'm glad you mentioned the fur trade, because that was my first follow-up was, so this is pre-fur trade, when, because what, over a period of 100 years or so, the beaver population was pretty decimated, wasn't it, or maybe 150 years?
Yeah, you know, when you think of it, when the fur traders, when the trappers, the voyageurs, and fur traders came in, they had pretty primitive equipment, you know, and large, huge birch bark canoes, you know, maybe 4 or 6 or 8 paddlers, you know, and then they'd venture out on the land, and they came in from Lake Superior and up Mississippi and across land over the Savannah Portage and some others, you know, and it's incredible how efficient they were at decimating some populations of fur bearers, you know, to the extent that even in the late 40s, early 50s, DNR was still in the process of stocking beaver where they'd been taken out in the northwestern part of the state. They were taken out of the Rosa Wildlife Area and put in like that entire Beltrami Island bog and Pine Island bog north of Washkish, south of Baudet, where, you know, where it was cleared and ditched for homesteading and, of course, failed. And but how efficient they were. And we were still stocking beaver like 1950, 1952 up in that country.
Well, do you know if the Dakota and later Ojibwe people, did they have, do we have much from their oral histories or information sources from, yeah, how do you find out what was around 300 or 400
yeah,
years ago?
Yeah. Well, they had, you know, they were able to harvest fur bearers, harvest big game, they made use of everything, of course. There is a lot of oral history, and it's still around there if you look for it, you know, and a lot of drawings, artwork, a lot of photos of, you know, like, of course, we were around then when photos came, but, you know, 1850s, 1860s, there are photos of, you know, Native Americans and with items made of furs, you know, made of skins and so forth. So, yeah, the information is there, you know, yeah.
Well, Mark or Bill, what critters were here maybe that aren't anymore?
I think, you know, the obvious one is the woodland caribou, you know, that was all over northern Minnesota. There were a lot more lynx here. Critters that are here now that were not here then, up in far northern Minnesota, the bobcat really was not here. It was all lynx. And critters, certain animals have moved in. Probably, it might sound funny, but the most evident one is the Virginia opossum, you know. Now, you know, think of that. And it's pretty incredible when you think that, you know, like, I remember when I took mammalogy in 1958, 59, and our mammalogy instructor said, told us that the possum was in northern Iowa, maybe a handful in southern Minnesota, but they would never, ever, ever get as far as even the Twin Cities, and they would for sure never, ever get to northern Minnesota. Well, you know, there's a few possums in Aiken County. Once in a while, one gets into, I know the Floodwood area had some, Grand Rapids had some, Duluth has some, and as climate changes, there'll be a lot more possum. You know, it's really weird. And we're also told that the voyagers, the early trappers, pretty much trapped out all of the Fisher, but Fisher might come back. I remember him saying that. Martin were really trapped out by the early trappers, and there's no chance in heck that they would ever, ever come back. And we had our first Fisher season in 1977, first Martin trapping season in 85, you know. So animals are really adaptable to very subtle changes in what's out there, where they're, you know, log areas, on-log areas, and they really respond quickly to things like that.
Bill, every once in a while, somebody tells me that they were on their deer stand and they spotted a wolverine, and I'm always a little bit skeptical. were there ever wolverines here?
There were. I want to say the last documented wolverine in Minnesota. I might be wrong, but I'm really close. I believe it was 1918,
whoa,
and it was in the northwest angle. That's the last documented one, 1918. And that's a really boreal species, likes boulders and, you know, cliffs and everything else. And so there were a handful of wolverines maybe back in those old days. But the wolverine is the kind of critter that there are never going to be many of them, you know. And
they were certainly
in not in our country, but in especially the northeastern part of the state, 200 years ago, say, you know. Yeah, 1918 was the last documented one, northwest angle.
This just not a good? Wasn't a good habitat for wolverine?
They just require such a big space.
Oh.
And I think they require some pretty rugged, rocky, and cold climate, you know. And people sometimes, you know, I had, like when I was with DNR, they had, people would call in and said they saw a wolverine. And in just about every case, it turned out to be like an old male fisher. And when big old male fisher, they get gray, and they look very much like a wolverine. It's the same family, even, you know. And but chances are that there are none, period, flat out none. But I remember one case where a wolverine, there were two wolverines that escaped from animal place down by Ascoff, and one of them ended up on the Sherbourne National Wildlife Refuge. Think of that.
Wow.
And it was live trapped and brought to the Minnesota Zoo, and it turned out to be very, very acceptable to humans. And it was one of these escaped or released wolverines. So that was kind of a wolverine. Yes, there was a wolverine down there, and I don't know where it finally ended up, but probably some zoo.
So, Bill, you mentioned earlier that the dominant large megafauna were woodland caribou, and you said across the state, were they able to occupy most of northern Minnesota? I mean, they went from out in the west, it's going to be prairie, and then you're going to come to big woods, and then you're going to come to pines, and they took all of those.
Yeah, that's a good, really good question, because they were not on the prairie. They were most likely not in the big woods. The big woods stretches all the way from southeastern Minnesota all the way to the northwest almost. But they were certainly in what we call the boreal forest. See, northern Aiken County, they were in Itasca County, for sure, you know, like St. Louis, Northern Carlton, and Beltrami. You know, the last woodland caribou in the state in the Northeast was 1924. And then we did DNR and the University and Resettlement Administration, and back then CCCs, tried to establish them in the Northwest and north of Red Lake in the late 30s, and that didn't work out. There was an attempt to get caribou back into Minnesota in the late 80s, put it that way, by the University of Minnesota, and they had some other backers. And it was, we went through a lot of work to look at deer pellets and everything, because the limit for caribou is predation, and it's also lichens to eat, and it's just simply habitat, and the habitat was really gone. So that ended in the 30s, the caribou in the Northwest. They finally opened the pens, and they disappeared pretty quickly. By 1940, there were no caribou in the state. A couple exceptions. There always are exceptions. In the late 80s, a couple caribou showed up close to Grand Marais, Northern Cook County, and a number of people saw them. Some DNR folks got pictures of them. And during that winter of 89, people got a lot of pictures of these two or three woodland caribou. They just kind of disappeared, you know. So as climate changes, as forests change, as their lichen food source changes, and for sure as predation changes, caribou and wolves don't get along at all. That's the wolves, when they find caribou, I don't think they have to work very hard to get one. So on the Slate Islands and Northern Lake Superior, a couple, 3 or 5 or 6 years ago, there's a nice caribou population on the Slates, and wolves swam across that northern part of Lake Superior and got on the island. And Ontario Ministry of Natural Resources had to live trap and remove the caribou and put them on another wolf-free island up that way, just to ensure survival of that caribou population. Otherwise, the wolves would have gotten probably every last one. The main predator aversion strategy on the part of caribou is to find an island. Either it's an island in the water or an island on land. And Beltrami Island in the Northwest Forest, big bog land, and Pine Island, big bog land, there are a lot of islands of forest out in that big bog that a wolf would never have really wanted to get to. But now there's deer, and deer support very high numbers of wolves, and so it was a lot of predation had an awful lot to do with it, you know.
So the caribou sought out areas where they were not influenced or bothered by wolves. The wolf population at prehistory or pre-European settlement was, I would assume, as large as it is now or larger. I mean,
Actually, it's probably the reverse. You know, there were back in pre-European settlement, there were wolves statewide. But, you know, there weren't, like in northern Minnesota, should really address northern Minnesota most, the forests were old, and old forests don't support many deer, and just a few deer don't support many wolves. And so wolf population then was probably much lower than it is right now in our northern forests. Now, as climate change happens, as logging practices change, deer love these young forests, middle-aged forests that we have as a result of forest management and so forth, and other things. That supports high numbers of wolves. And so caribou could never, ever, ever make it in the kind of wolf predator numbers that there are now. And deer carry brainworm, and their caribou is the most easily infected animal for brainworm, that little worm that crawls around in the nervous systems of big game. And these little brainworms are not fatal to deer, they're fatal to everything else.
A couple quick questions, Bill.
The odds are stacked against them.
What about moose? Were there?
Oh yeah, brainworm really wipes out moose.
Yeah,
if I was going to put it on a scale, I would say caribou are the most easily infected by brainworm. Elk somewhere in the middle. Moose, they're in there too, but deer are not impacted at all by it. So when deer come in, and they most just about all deer carry it, and so once deer get into high numbers of playing high populations, and if there's moose around there, it's going to pretty much impact them adversely. So that's one of the reasons that some of the northern forests are being managed more for moose now, especially up in the Boundary Waters and Superior National Forest, being managed more intensively for old forests and moose and fewer predator numbers.
Were moose here with the caribou?
Yes. Yeah.
In that era?
There were certainly a lot of, there were moose up here. Caribou, were really abundant. Just think in 1903, I think, there were still so many caribou around in northern Minnesota that for one big game license, you could kill three deer and one caribou and one elk. And, just think how times have changed in a little bit more than a century.
It
kind of blows you away. And
Well, I assume there was also bison on the prairie in the western parts of the state.
Yeah, bison are kind of interesting critter. There were certainly bison in all over the prairie and in the big woods. Not probably here, but there's some evidence. Like, for example, Aiken County had some pre-settlement bison. I have a friend that lives near Park Rapids, near Itasca State Park. And he has some land, a big chunk of land, and he has a creek running through it. And there was a cliff there, and the Native Americans hunted bison by running them off cliffs. They were called buffalo jumps.
Oh my gosh.
And there are a couple beaver dams on his land that are made of bison bones, buffalo bones.
Oh my gosh! Isn't that
so? Amazing? That's it shows you that there were bison. Really, really, really close.
Uh-huh.
But probably when they call them woodland bison, and it's same species, of course, and everything,
uh-huh.
that were adapted more to forest than more to, prairies and big open grasslands. But Native Americans made use of them. A lot of changes made a lot of different critters, enabled a lot of different critters to be here.
That's retired DNR wildlife biologist and researcher Bill Berg, who joins us from time to time to talk about interesting critters like this. And our series is produced by Mark Jacobs, who is a retired Aiken County Land Commissioner and Forester. And Bill, thanks again for joining us. And don't go away, Mark, because we want you to preview our new series on fall pollinators. But thanks, Bill. Good to visit with you again.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, guys. It was really fun. And hello to all my old friends in KXE land. It was a lot of fun.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot.
Hey, Mark, you got a new series coming up. Tell us about it.
Yeah, hopefully next month we get people in the spring spirit. We're going to start talking about pollinators and native plants and what kind of plants you can plant to benefit them, and have some pretty good speakers lined up on specific types of pollinators, and hopefully it'll get people charged up for spring.
Sounds great, and thanks so much for the work you do in producing this series for us.
Oh, it's a lot of fun. Thanks.
You bet.
Yeah, thank you, Mark. Looking forward to the pollinator program.